WBEZ Chicago. It's This American Life. I'm Ira Glass. This is a special pledge drive edition of our show, which means that all this hour, I'm playing favorite stories that we've put on the air recently to remind you why you might consider supporting this station with your money. And let's just jump right in, okay, with this story that I personally just love. This is not flashy. It's really about as simple as a story can be. It's somebody interviewing her mom. That someone is one of our producers, Alna Baker, who comes from a long line of passive-aggressive communicators. By the way, they know this. They own it, this style of communication, this passive-aggressive style. Back once when her grandmother wanted to get a message across, the message was, don't leave change lying around. She put an article on the fridge saying, toddler chokes on penny, and then just left it to everybody else to connect the dots. Now, his mother communicates in the same indirect way, which became a problem in the years after Elna left the church. Elna's family is Mormon. And her mom had some important things that she wanted to say to Elna. Here's Elna.
This all started when I made a joke about me buying weed to my brother. Careful, he said. If mom were to hear that, she'd send an email to the whole family about how you're an addict. I laughed. And then I was like, wait, what? That was way too specific. Did mom send an email to the whole family about me being an addict? And he was like, nothing, never mind. Which could only mean one thing. She did. It took several rounds of questioning before I got the whole story. The email he was referencing, my mom had sent it 10 years ago. At the time, I was about to host a comedy show in New York where me and a bunch of performers would play drinking games on stage. It was called The Drunk Show. The show was being promoted online. My mom, a devout Mormon, saw an article about it and freaked out. Mormons don't drink. It's against the religion. And what I learned from my brother, years after the fact, is that my mom was so worried that I was doing this show, she sent an email to my family, my extended family, uncles, cousins, and family friends who I grew up with, like the Mitchells, the Coxes, Heidi, my middle school drama teacher. Dear friends, it begins. I am writing because I am concerned about the direction Elna's life has turned. She is spiraling downward fast. My mom then explains to them that I'm doing this event called The Drunk Show, then writes, I am very concerned. In our family, you are either an alcoholic or a Mormon, and I think she may be headed in the wrong direction. I don't know what I can do personally. She doesn't hear me. I'm going to interject here that I didn't hear her because she never said anything to me about it. In the email, she inserts a link to the article about The Drunk Show and then reveals her grandmaster plan. She's been commenting on the article under fake names, warning me not to do the show. Can everyone else please make up fake accounts and also comment? This way, I'll cancel the show. She ends, thanks. Pray for us both, please. When I read this email, I was mortified. I drink socially. I'm not an alcoholic. But since I'd never intercepted the email, I worried everyone who got it had thought this for years. I immediately clicked on the link to the article. At the bottom of the page, there were four comments from four different people trolling me, all clearly my mother. Here's the weirdest part. She wrote all these comments while she was staying with me. She was in town the week of the drunk show. We slept in the same bed. But she didn't say a word to me about it. As interventions go, it was the least successful one I've ever heard of or could imagine. No one else among the family or friends chimed in, and I, the target of the intervention, never knew it happened. I never heard of or read the comments online until my brother accidentally let it slip years later. Since I found out about this, I've wondered why my mom chose to communicate this message to me the way she did. But I've never asked her, because I figured it would just lead to a fight and no answers. But we're much closer now than we were when I did the drunk show. Why not try? To my surprise, she agreed to talk about it, but on these conditions. Dad had to be there in case we needed mediation. I had to come home for Christmas in exchange. And most importantly, I could only do this story if she got to write the ending, which we'll get to later. Talk for a second.
Hi, Alna. How are you?
Wow, Mom, you got sexy.
Wow, Mom.
I'm trying out a lower voice because I think my voice is too screechy.
Don't do that. Don't spend the whole interview not being yourself.
We started at the beginning. How did my mother decide that anonymous comments online would be the best way to reach me? She said my sister Julia told her about the drunk show.
So I'm laying there on the couch. I'm at your apartment, probably about 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I'm stewing over this. I can't sleep. Haven't slept for hours. And then I just had this little epiphany. I can put this on here in somebody else's voice. I don't have to use my own voice. And then maybe she'll take it seriously. You just need to hear it from New Yorkers.
Why?
Come on, Elna. You're from New York. You live in New York. And you value their opinions.
More than yours.
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm... You know, this fuddy-duddy, old-fashioned Mormon lady that doesn't know anything. You know, I'm like from 1950. I'm like June Cleaver.
Are you saying that you are like that or that I think you think I think that?
That's what I think you think I am, yeah.
Before things get too tense, my mom and I pull up the comments page together.
Okay, so now let's look at these people.
The first thing I learned was how fleshed out these people were in my mom's mind.
Okay.
Like Carol from the West Village, who warned that irresponsible drinking could lead to lawsuits.
She's a lawyer? Because that's the way a lawyer would say things, isn't it?
Okay.
She's dealt with lawsuits that have involved drunk drivers or something with alcohol that's involved, right?
To be clear, nowhere in the comments does it say Carol is a lawyer. For each entry, there's just a name and location. Like Don from the Upper West Side.
Pretty ritzy area, right?
Who's Don in your mind?
Don is a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Who's older. He used to do kind of the old style comedy.
Again, reading the comments, you'd never know Don was a comedian.
Yeah, he's just disgusted with how comedy has evolved in the last 15 years or so.
What does Don think about me doing this show?
He says, comedy, where you are laughing at the performers and not with the performers, is not comedy. It is tragedy. Is this really what NYC comedy is reduced to? Are you really not cleverer than this?
The next comment comes from the East Village, from a commenter named Please.
Okay, so I'm thinking this is a policeman.
Why is this policeman writing me? Why is he so offended by this show?
Well, he says, 10 years after 9/11, and this is where New York is? Come on.
The show is on September 17th.
I think this week, of all weeks, we should all be a little more sensitive and full of introspection.
Okay. Can we just... I think we can both agree that you went real big on this one.
I hit the 9/11 button.
Her last comment is a straight-up Mormon talking point. Alcoholism and all other addictions take away freedom of choice. 7 minutes after she posted that, she sent the mass email. My mom said she went so hard because...
So I have two uncles who died of alcoholism poisoning. My uncle died at age 30. My other uncle came to my wedding completely drunk and ended up dead about 2 years later from alcoholism. Gary's grandfather died of alcoholism. So that's how I get there. It's not like it's a Mormon thing. It's an experience that has affected me. It affected my mother. She was just devastated over her brother and his alcoholism.
Stopping the drunk show meant stopping me from becoming one of these people. Did you ever consider just calling me?
Elna, we've already been there. You don't hear me. You just don't hear me. It's just a joke. You have to hear it from somebody who you think is credible. Come on, admit it, Elna. You know you would have just laughed. You would have called Kevin. You would have had a good laugh. And you would have had the show anyway.
But you didn't. The thing is,
come on, admit it.
Wait.
You know it. You know you would have rolled your eyes at me.
But you didn't even try.
Alma, just tell me. What's the truth on your end?
Well, I don't think I... Here's the thing. I think if you just told me not to do it, I would have done exactly what you're saying. But if we'd had a full conversation where we really talked, for example, I didn't know until just now, until we've had this conversation, like, I didn't really know that much about your family history with drinking. You don't talk about these unpleasant things. So that, like, when you're so against drinking, I think it was just had to do with Mormonism and not that it had to do with, like, really painful things you witnessed in your life because you never told me about them.
I'm sure I have said this statement before in your life. In our family, you're either a Mormon or an...
Alcoholic.
Alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've heard that one before.
Yeah, I just didn't believe it. She'd said this to me all my life, but I was missing the context. I've never met any of these family members who drank. I don't remember her ever mentioning any of these stories. I saw my mother as sheltered. Almost all her friends are Mormon. I just thought, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Which was unfair. When I make a radio story, I listen to my interviews over and over again. And this time, something unusual started to happen. With each listen, my mother sounded less and less like my mother. Like, I stopped hearing her the way I usually do, rolling my eyes, getting defensive. And I actually started to hear what she had to say. This is the line that struck me the hardest.
Elna, we've already been there. You don't hear me.
She's right. And I can hear in her voice that this has been hurting her feelings for years. And that's my fault. I see why she thinks it's hopeless to talk to me about drinking, about anything. I'm incredibly dismissive. That's my part in this. And her part, she was totally upfront about that. She didn't want to confront me about drinking because she has so much trouble with confrontation of any kind, with anyone, going back to when she was young.
I mean, as a little kid, I used to just admit fault to anything that happened in our family in order to get the confrontation to be over with.
I never understood before this conversation what that feels like for her. She panics, feels trapped, like she needs to run, tightness in her chest, which is what makes this conversation so hard.
It's just what we're doing exactly what I hate to do.
What?
Talk about conflict.
So what's happening to you when we do it?
I'm twiddling my thumbs, right? I'm feeling my neck turn to stone.
This cord, which is already coiled up, has been triple coiled for the headphones.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for putting yourself in your most uncomfortable place.
Sure, you're welcome, Elna. Anything for my daughter.
I knew what this meant. From the tone of her voice, it was time to stop. This was the most direct conversation I've ever had with my mother, and the longest real conversation we've ever had. She'd gone above and beyond and did something she did not enjoy for me. I could return the favor and call it a day. And now for the ending my mother requested. It comes down to three words. She was right. Not about me spiraling downward fast, but about the drunk show. For the record, the drunk show was a disaster. I was the one who organized the drinking games, but because I'd only recently left the church, I was brand new to drinking, and all the penalties in the games were things like take four shots of whiskey. Things went off the rails quickly. A performer threw a chair at an audience member. I drunk dialed my ex from the stage, and the call went so badly that I started crying in front of the audience. And someone ended up in the hospital. My mom knew none of those details, of course. But big picture, Carol from the West Village knew what she was talking about when she said irresponsible drinking can lead to hospitalization. In other words, Mom was right.
Donna Baker, is one of the producers of our show. Okay, so my question to you right now here on this pledge drive is, on what other radio station could you possibly hear that story? It's not breaking news. It's not about some trend. It's just a small personal story done with feeling, documenting the kind of thing that I think that happens in lots of families, though, of course, this is a sort of extreme version of it. If you think that there should be a place for stories like this, stories that try to capture how we live and that are just, I don't know, out for feeling like that story is, well, then pitch in. This kind of story is just one of the things this radio station gives you. In addition to breaking news and analysis, lots of things you cannot find elsewhere on the radio, all conveniently served up whenever you just flip on the dial in your car, in your house, at your job. Here's how to pledge.